draft 21-23 operating budget request and draft fiscal year 2021 second supplemental briefing. And this is by Nate Pamplin and Morgan Stinson.
Great. Nate. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Director Susewin. Happy to be here today. I think we're a little ahead, but we're going to have Morgan Stinson join soon. And Nick, would you mind just sending him that link? I think he's having trouble finding that.
Sure.
But I will go ahead and get us started here on the presentation. And Nikki, can you see my screen? I'm hoping I'm sharing that.
That looks good.
Yes, it's great.
Okay, thank you. So, if
I may too, Nikki, you might notify Tom McBride that we might be getting to him a little bit ahead of his schedule as well. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So I just want to provide an overview for both this agenda item and the next one that Tom's presenting, just to walk you through what's coming up here for 2021 legislative session. Before we talk about the request, I also want to orient you to our budget overall, and then follow up briefly on the remarks Director Susewin made about a recent exercise that OFM asked all state agencies for reductions for state fiscal year 21. And then I'll turn it over to Morgan, and he'll walk through the details of our draft concepts at this point, which then really this meeting kind of kicks off our public involvement and engagement process through the summer. And we'll be bringing you draft packages for your approval at your July 31st, August 1st meeting. So 2021 is going to be a long session. This is the marathon session lasting 105 days. It's where the bulk of new policy bills are introduced and a real focus on developing the biennial budget. So that's for the 21-23 budget. We had an early glimpse at the forecast here in response to COVID-19. And we're about $7 billion off as a state for the next 3 years. So pretty grim outlook. We're going to have receive better information next week when the Revenue Council offers a formal forecast. And we'll see how things are looking now that the state's reopening and different counties are progressing through the different phases.
I have a quick question.
Yes,
if please, I may sir. Interject. You mentioned the $7 billion. What does that represent, Nate, in terms of, if you know, percentage?
Yeah, well, that number is over 3 years, and a biennial budget for the state operating side is about $50 billion. So a pretty, 15% hit or so if you kind of... 10 to 15% hit. Mr. Chairman, I'll continue. If Commissioner Kehoe, did that address your question?
Yeah, thank you. It's better to put that into context, I think.
So we're not sure when a special session is going to occur. I think, folks were thinking that it might occur this month help balance our next fiscal year's budget right off the bat. It's looking like that's not going to occur, at least what we're seeing thus far. Perhaps in August or September, we'll see a special session to help adjust the budget for what we see in the revenue forecast. And, a lot of the investments in state government, many of those are constitutionally protected. And so what often happens then is the burden of the reductions fall on general government, higher education, natural resource agencies, et cetera. And so I think we've made a tremendous amount of progress demonstrating to the legislature that natural resource investments are not discretionary and they contribute to Washingtonians' quality of life. But that is a concern considering where folks can look to find savings. We also know coming up to 2021 that in November, there's going to be an election. There's a number of retirements in many competitive legislative districts. And that's what keeps this fun and interesting, is that the players will change and new ideas will come forward. So 2021 is going to be a very, very busy session, no doubt. To walk you through our budget very briefly is generally on this pie chart, you've seen that the state general fund, wildlife account, and federal make up each about 25% of our budget. Well, this past biennium, we secured quite a bit of state general fund through killer whale investments to help recover the southern resident killer whales, as well as the requests that we've made to fix our structural deficit and some new enhancements. So we've been very successful securing general fund, and that's where that the entire pie has grown, and the proportion of general fund has shifted to almost being a third of our operating budget for this current biennium. This chart is an example from some of the zero-based budgeting work, and we updated it for the last biennium, and this just shows by the major activity areas of the agency's core work where money is spent. And this graph here represents both operating and capital expenditures. These are the activities that, for those of you on the Big Tent Committee, we talked about a little bit in the strategic plan conversation. But really, about half of our agency's budget is associated with those two center columns, with managing fish opportunities and producing hatchery fish. This chart just shows the amount of appropriations in state general fund over the past several biennia, and it really shows the investment and I think the trust and confidence in the department by the legislature here, where as a result of the 2019 and the 2020 supplemental session, we received $70 million of appropriations. And so a huge amount of work to secure that, but tremendous partnerships developed with extensive coalition of stakeholders. Tribes were very active. You all were active. It's been a tough couple 3 years, but it's really nice to have some stability in the department's funding and enter this new challenge with the 2020 level of purchasing power, rather than being what we were staring at, you know, dropping back down to something like the 11-13 biennium level of purchasing power if we didn't get some of the structural deficit resolved. As we enter into 21-23, there's some budget analysts that we look at all of the puts and takes from the 2019 and 2020 legislative sessions and back out any one-time investments or things that expire, so that we know what this is essentially just results in what is our base. What is our base budget going to look at for 21-23 before the legislature does any other additions through maintenance level investments, performance level investments, or reductions associated with the coronavirus. So as you can see, we do anticipate a drop in general fund from that chart that I just showed you previously. Again, we have some new killer whale investments that were one time. We had some new provisos in 2020 legislative session that were one time. And we had some changes of our authority where there was a fund swap. Folks will recall that in 2019, to help us balance the books, we received $24 million of one-time general fund. So that comes off the books, and then the $14.7 million each fiscal year comes in. So at the end of the day, there's a really hideous spreadsheet behind this that tracks all the different changes in the various provisos and investment areas. But at the end of the day, we will be seeing in our carry forward a drop. but just wanted to let you know I'm not anticipating this to be a drop in base activities. We've been planning for those one-time investments to expire. So on May 13th, the Governor's Office of Financial Management sent out an assignment across state government for to identify 15% of our general fund for the next fiscal year, so the fiscal year that starts on July 1st, and to identify reductions in savings. And for the department, that sums to $12.8 million. So the guidance said, you know, hey, try to find under expenditures, focus on general fund, but if there's opportunities to account for savings in other fund sources to pursue that. They asked us to reduce, delay, or eliminate programs, to try to think through reductions that we could make now that would also potentially help if there's reductions that are coming in next biennium. And then to do an analysis if there's any programs or services that do not meet your core mission. And our approach was we had to submit the list of $12.8 million earlier this month. We tried to prioritize one-time reductions and non-staff reductions wherever possible. We looked at any new investments that haven't even gotten started yet, because it would start on July 1st. If there was an opportunity to either reduce or eliminate those, as well as we looked at across our portfolio, and is there fund sources that we could do with a bank shot to be able to free up general fund to contribute to this exercise. And we have a lot of documents to guide us. The 2018 zero-based budget analysis, as well as our new strategic plan. The last thing we want to do is identify a cut that takes away from our capacity to help turn the ship in the positive directions that are identified in the strategic plan. Our staff, our program directors, our budget managers, admin ops, are very talented at budget management, and unfortunately, we're really good at identifying reductions. We've been living under scenarios of planning for cuts almost every legislative session for the past 4 or 5 plus years, as well as coming after the Great Recession. So we've got a really good handle on our budget, and I identified a number of areas that preserved. Or identified areas to offer savings, but really preserved our core activities and ensures that we're moving forward in the direction we want to be in the strategic plan. So the suite of items that we identified to OFM, and our list is now published on OFM's website along with all of the other state agencies, is we had a few savings from this current fiscal year that we're hoping to apply to next fiscal year's target. There's things with reduced travel associated with the coronavirus. There's a hiring delay that we implemented prior to the statewide hiring freeze guidance that came out from the governor's office. We also had identified some provisos that there was gonna be some unspent funding there that could be applied to this target. For the next category, as I mentioned, we looked at the supplemental provisos, new work that starts on July 1st, and we reduced and eliminated some of those. We reduced things like the Northern Pike suppression in the Columbia and reduced some of the Columbia River pinniped work that was proposed. That particular proviso had a string on it that we couldn't actually do anything until we received the NIMS permit, which we still don't have. So that was able to provide some savings there. The next category was a pretty broad category of a variety of items, many of them associated with the hiring freeze and contract freeze. And then lastly, about half of our target was met by examining different restricted and dedicated accounts in either the state wildlife account or special wildlife account, to offer up some positive fund balance on a one-time basis. Of course, that will affect our ability to access that funding into the future, but it's a better alternative than eliminating or reducing a program where that would be chewing into our base. So with that, I'm hoping Morgan Stinson's on, and Morgan, I can drive the PowerPoint. You're up.
Hey, Larry, I've got a question.
Yeah, one second. I think, well, you go ahead then, Commissioner Anderson, I believe, is right behind you.
Sorry, thank you. Nate, thanks for that presentation. My question is, since we have already identified approximately $12 million in potential cuts, and it sounds like we are actually already participating in some of those cuts, we've already enacted them ourselves, what is the effect if there isn't a special session? I guess my real question is a special session required to basically redo the budget and give us what our actual cuts will be for this fiscal year? And then if there isn't a special session when we're coming into the next legislative biennial budget writing session, will that compound the numbers? Will they be bigger because we haven't already taken them, and will we get credit for what we're doing?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Baker. Those are a great question. So I'll start with the first one, which is really about how we is there going to be a special session? Do we need the legislature here? No, I think OFM could. The governor's office could issue, here's where savings will occur. Now they have the menu of items submitted from state agencies. For our particular response, this fourth bullet on accessing positive fund balance would require the legislature to act, likely in some sort of back of the budget direction to be able to tap into some of that fund balance. What we would ask the legislature to do is to, you know, for the fiscal year, relax some of the funding strings on those particular accounts so that we could move that money onto other, in many cases, fee-based activities that would then free up general fund to serve. So it's there is an extra hurdle that needs to happen by the legislature to be able to access that $6+ million of proposed reductions. In terms of how this will count, we, you know, fingers crossed here that the revenue forecast coming out shows that more of the states opening up and that perhaps it won't be as severe of an impact next biennium in terms of state general fund collections. That's, again, hopeful. I'm an optimist. I'm maybe a little too hopeful on that. But that's why we really looked at one-time reductions, because we just don't know what's going to happen for 21-23. So I think that if there is a severe downturn for 21-23, we'll have exhausted these one-time reductions, and we'd be needing to look at reductions into the base to be able to contribute to whatever that new target was. Commissioner Baker, did that help?
Yes, it did. I think just to summarize what you said, whether the special session happens or not, OFM has the authority to enact most of our proposed cuts except for the one regarding one-time basis positive fund balances.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I see Mr. Stinson has joined us now. I have next Commissioner Anderson and then Commissioner McIsaac.
Okay. First off, it's kind of cruel to have the supplemental increase only to see it getting stripped, but I guess that's one of life's things right now. I got a question with regard to the pie chart that you showed. Four areas, and in particular, what is the general fund local? That I don't recall seeing that in the past. I thought state general fund, federal general fund, and the wildlife account. So that's one question. Then the other other question is, to what extent are capital accounts being affected, and to what extent, and I'm, this may be over in Department of Transportation budget, but I know there's a large number in there for the culvert repairs, and I'm wondering what you've heard with regard to that.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Anderson, a great series of questions. So the first one is what all is included in the general fund local. This is primarily mitigation contracts that we have with PUDs. So whether it's Tacoma Power or Douglas or Grant, et cetera, for us to manage wildlife areas, run hatcheries, et cetera, per different mitigation obligations. So far on the reductions, we have not received guidance from OFM to look at capital reductions. We have just recently, they're thinking about what are some aspects of a capital budget, kind of a smaller version that might help with putting people back to work. And this was, the same concept was pursued coming out of the Great Recession, where it was the Jobs Now Act. And we've been talking about it internally, anticipating a request would be coming. And it, both in terms of for federal appropriations as well as state. You know, there's a lot of capital projects that we can push out through contracts for hatchery infrastructure, wildlife area infrastructure, and our facilities. Mm-hmm. And so we're pouring through those lists, and when the opportunity presents itself, we will advance those proposals. But right now, sir, we're not seeing any reductions on the capital budget.
I guess the question with regard to culverts, have you heard any impact on that?
I have not heard anything on the transportation side in terms of reductions.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, is there any other commissioners, or I'll turn it over to
Morgan. I think Commissioner McIsaac, Nate, first, please, and then Morgan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Nate, if you could move to slide number 7. Or let's see, is it 7? Let's see. 7. And you may have just touched on the answer to this with regard to Commissioner Anderson's question, but the center one, produce more hatchery fish, $169.5 million. Is that include all, is that all general, state general fund, or does that include mitigation money from PUDs that have built dams and pay us to run a hatchery in that area? Does that include federal hatchery money, Mitchell Act, and this and that, or is that just all state fund, state general fund?
Yeah, that's a great question, Commissioner McIsaac, and really that's why I try to show both of these slides. This slide on the chart here just shows the different colors of money, and this just shows how we invest it blind a color of money. And so this production of hatchery fish includes Bonneville Power, DJ, Two-Pole Fund, State Wildlife Account, General Fund, mitigation agreements, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. And when we get around to considering what kind of general fund money to give up, obviously we're not going to be giving up federal funding or PUD funding or those kinds of things. Yeah, okay.
Correct. But, you know, in certain instances, like for federal contracts, for instance, where Dingell Johnson, for instance, can be used for multiple activities. Well, then is that's a kind of a potentially flexible fund source. But in this particular budget reduction, we did not serve up any hatchery production items. I think there was some hatchery equipment and things like that was deferred. But in terms of production out of this $12.8 million target, we did not cut anywhere.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Nate, thank you very much for that. Did you want to pass it to Morgan Stinson now?
Yes, please. Morgan, are you on?
It looks like Commissioner Bill has a question.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I just wanted to make a comment, and I've stated this before. Nate, you and your crew have done an incredibly wonderful job of presenting very, very complex materials on the budget. My absolute least favorite topic. And I believe that has contributed greatly. I think it contributed to our ability to get more general fund this last year. Without that happening, we would be in much more serious trouble, even though a lot of it's being stripped away. I just want to congratulate you and your crew. And I'm sure that what Morgan's going to also talk to us about has really contributed to the health and welfare of the agency. And I really appreciate the work that you've done.
Well, thanks, Commissioner Graybill. You know, for me, budget in and of itself isn't that exciting, but I'm very passionate on the work that we do as an agency, and this is a means to an end, and this improves our wildlife areas, it cranks up hatchery production, we're on our way to recover killer whales, et cetera. So telling that story, trying to build those relationships with stakeholders and advocating for an investment in fish and wildlife is a good investment for Washington. That's a ton of fun. So we enjoy that, and thank you for the compliment there. Morgan, I think you're up.
Great. Thank you so much. Again, I'm Morgan Stinson. I'm the budget office for the agency. And good morning, Chairman and members of the commission. What I'll be talking to you a little bit about today. There we go. Oh, yeah, now we're on it. So what I'll be talking to you a little bit about today is, you know, it's very early in our budget development cycle for 21-23. Had some left and right swerves kind of thrown at us here in the last little bit, but we wanted to give you as much situational awareness and as much opportunity for feedback as possible about what we might submit coming here in September. And so in future meetings, you'll see some of what we're talking about here show up as fully fleshed out decision packages or decision package ideas. At this point, things are a little bit more conceptual, and so I'll walk through some of those. A couple little points as we talk about some of these. We've got some vocab that I just want to just cover for folks. I think some of you folks might already know some of these, but we'll hit them. So carry forward level is one of the levels of budget that we have, and we're really not going to talk about that one too much. But I wanted to point it out, that's an area that Nate might have covered earlier in the presentation, and it's just a little bit about, well, what does our funding look like before we have any cuts or before we have any new packages when we show up to next biennium? And then we'll talk about maintenance level, which is really just for kind of our increased costs and decisions that we already made. And then finally, performance level, that's where we have the big ideas and the stuff that moves us in new directions that we want to get accomplished. Can we hit the next slide? So I'm going to have two other divisions in here. There's one, which is the second supplemental. This is going to be really small. This is one-time cost increases that are going to happen in the current biennium, right? So in the next 13 months, these things will hit. And some of them will kind of even look retroactive, because again, the legislative session will start in January and go through about March or April. And then we'll be anticipating trying to get paid maybe a little bit retroactively for a couple of those. Those are only one time, and so they tend to be technical in them. What we'll really focus most of our time on is, so what are we going to submit in September that the legislature is going to focus on and think about in January for money that will show up on July 1st of 2021, so for the 21-23 biennial budget. And what we're waiting for is to see what kind of instructions come out of OFM here later this month with regard to, do they want to see cut packages? Do they want to see revenue items? What do they want to see from agencies for ideas that help us basically navigate this recession as they move into their long session? So quickly, we'll get the second supplemental out of the way. Go ahead. We basically have three small packages that we're sort of monitoring right now. It's possible that we need a little bit of an increase in dollar amount. We have a bill pass of 5481 that was about the interest arbitration for some of our fish and wildlife officers. They didn't give us quite as much money as we asked for in the fiscal note, and so we're going to ask to make the money that we pass through to OFM for their salary compensation sort of and arbitration costs. We just want to make sure that we're going to pay our bills to OFM, and so we're asking for the money that we asked for in the first place. I think we'll see some success with this one. I think this one is where an area where OFM is going to be spending that stuff ahead of time and basically be wanted to get compensated for that. Additionally, at the beginning of the biennium, the state changed IT positions, and so that led to some cost increases for salaries and benefits. And we want to do a small technical package that says, hey, you made this decision, and then we had these appeals that showed up afterwards where folks' salaries and benefits increased, and could we get paid for basically that difference? And then finally, we like to have this one as a placeholder. We're anticipating fires that might either occur this summer or early in the spring of 2021. And where we have that, we've got some suppression dollars that we pay on DNR to fight those fires. But we also have a little bit of money that's set aside for basically reseeding and returning that land to a state where it stays wild. And so it stays of benefit for indigenous species. Three small items that we might see in the future. We've got dollar amounts on these ones because they're technical and they're emergent, and we sort of already know about what's going on with them. Okay, so now we're on to maintenance level, the next one. And again, quick reminder for folks, maintenance level tends to be stuff where it's just costs that are going up. It's not a set of decisions so much that we tend to be making. So, you know, let's say we send out 1,000 envelopes for licenses, and the price of stamps goes up. Right, we might ask for additional expenditure authority or a different additional dollars, basically just to pay for the difference in those stamps. It's not a decision. It's not a grand strategy. It's just, hey, costs went up. Could we potentially see some increased investment for that? We think that we've got about $5 to $6 million of requests. We won't have these perfectly set up because we're actually waiting for the current fiscal year to end, because that'll help us understand exactly what some of those costs were, and also we're trying to determine, you know, which of these are items or placeholders that might evaporate by the time we come back to you next. Go ahead and hit next. So we've got a long list of pretty technical items. We want to finish off, we want money to finish off and then maintain the subscription for sort of our police RMS project. Again, we see kind of the other part of that IT reclass field. We've got to have two separate packages and two separate budget requests, one for second supplemental and one for 21-23. We're using the Office of Administrative Hearings more, and so we'll have a cost increase from that. We see the other side of that interest arbitration around the officers piece, where we need to kind of continue paying some, you know, what we said we would, you know, what it would cost in the fiscal note on that one. Our lease rates will probably go up a little bit. We're always investing in IT, and so where the price of some of those subscriptions go up, we want to do a package. We will be completing capital projects. And when you complete a capital project, you know, ahead of time, you tell folks what you think operation maintenance will cost. We've built something or acquired a piece of land. And so we'll put in a technical thing for that, saying, hey, we already made the decision about whether or not to invest in this capital project. Now we just need the operations dollars. We found an area where we could do an equipment replacement, and in the OFM budget instructions. I get excited about this one because it's an area that we haven't explored as much yet, but we've seen success in other agencies asking, hey, if I've got a really old piece of equipment, I kind of just want to keep doing what I was doing, but I got to get money to replace it. Can we submit that as a maintenance level ask? And we like to think that that doesn't compete quite in the same way against our policy asks. We haven't done one of these before, so we're working closely with OFM to try to figure out what the best way to figure that one out is. But one of our virtues is that we've got a lot of really old equipment. So I think we might be able to get some access to something like that. Oftentimes our utility rates go up, especially around hatcheries. Again, we've got sort of a placeholder for 21-23 wildlife habitat recovery. That's that seeding and keeping land wild after a fire. And we anticipate that ecology might change their rates on some of our water sort of discharge permits out at hatcheries. So we wanna see if we can get compensated for that. We wanna make sure that the minimum wage that we're paying up to Kelly Services hasn't increased. So we've got a placeholder where we're gonna watch and kind of monitor that cost. And then this one right here, we've got, you know, we pay PILT dollars, and in the current biennium, those dollars were moved over to the treasurer's office. That was at about a $4 million level. They had the benefit of a maintenance level package that we had pursued earlier. And so now, you know, the legislation that we had passed to put it, the legislation that we had attempted to put it permanently in the treasurer's office budget, that didn't succeed or go through. So that those dollars will revert back to us, but they're going to revert back to us back at like the 17-19 level. So we're probably going to have to ask to get that dollar amount increased so that we can make those payments. And I think it'll take us a little bit of message communication strategy to explain, we know it says PILT, but it's not actually very political. We're not paying more or differently than the treasurer's office paid in the current biennium. We just need that dollar amount to come back at the right technical amount for us when we get to 21-23. So we can just hurry up and make those payments. And so I think we'll be successful in that particular strategy. Okay. So next up is our performance level items. These are much less specific. They're much more conceptual. It's very early in the process for us. And you know, maybe we might have made a little bit more progress, but I'm doing some of these cut exercises and some of that stuff. So I'm still at a place where, I don't know, I think they're good ideas and great ideas. But we probably have too high of a dollar amount for them, for something to, for a policy level request that we might submit here in September. So we wanted to show them to you. We wanted to show them to you so that we could start the public engagement process and also get your feedback and just increase situational awareness about what's going on here. So we think a reasonable-ish amount for the policy level request might be between $10 and $15 million. That's on top, right, of that $5, $6 million maintenance level dollar amount. And what we're trying to shape this request around is we're trying to be a little bit tone sensitive. And so can we find those items that have either emergent needs or commitments that we are already trying to follow through on? Or can we emphasize areas where we think that we can contribute to job creation? You know, we talked a little bit about the capital budget, but where are those areas on the operating budget that we can be sensitive to the unemployment that's occurring in Washington State? Again, we don't have guidance exactly how to put packages together or whether we're going to put cut packages together or revenue packages or anything like that from OFM yet. But at this time, all of the concepts that we see here are for general fund state. We don't currently have plans for a fee increase or anything like that on the table. So next, what we'll see is just a quick run through of ideas, and I'll basically put that list out, and then we'll have an opportunity for what next steps might be, and then we'll talk about questions. So first up, we've got aquatic invasive species. We've got European green crab and quagga zebra mussels, and a lot of these areas where we want to try to improve or sustain our level of monitoring enforcement. This is an area where we saw, you know, dollars come in either on a one-time or an ongoing basis in the conference budget, but then they were either vetoed out or cut later. And so we're trying to maintain this level and then maybe even push beyond it so that we can be strategic and spend these dollars in a way that is early enough so that we don't end up, you know, in a situation where we're investing ever and ever more dollars into some of these areas. As those things spread. Of course, we've got our Columbia River policy. We've got a placeholder for this, maybe a license buyback and alternative gear. We're letting that process play out, and I think we've got a good people trying to concentrate on that area. We've got diversity species recovery. A lot of this is monitoring and restoration and species that might be of greater conservation need. Go ahead. You know, our enforcement has pointed out that their FTEs are basically what they've been for a couple of decades, and so the requirements of them are ever increasing, and so there's an idea to try to increase officer support statewide, especially in some of these rural areas or areas east of the mountains. Again, fish passage and barrier removal are hot topics, and so we're going to have needs around rulemaking and inventory, both for state, but probably focusing a little bit more on cities and counties and some of our staff support. We've got our HPA landowner assistance. This is an item that we've had in our request for a little while, and we see some success in getting funded. And we even saw like an $800,000 amount one time here, but then we saw that get vetoed away. So We're probably interested in continuing the fight to get that item funded. We have constant need to monitor fisheries. You know, if we're going to keep these fisheries open, then we're going to have to try to, you know, figure out where those fish are and get those counts. And we also had an area where I think stakeholders are really interested in what we sort of tagged this sort of quicksilver piece, where folks are looking for steelhead opportunities and how to do monitoring or hatchery items towards some of that. Of course, we want to continue to produce the maximum amount or the appropriate amount that we can at our hatcheries. Some of that means what's our capacity for those automatic marking trailers that we have. You know, oftentimes we've got, you know, the kind of Kelly Services trailers that we're using, but these auto trailers are of huge benefit, and they don't require or have quite the same staffing problems, unfortunately, that the other ones do. We also have a lot of Southern Resident Killer Whale funding that we received in 1921 in this current biennium. And it's important, but the vast majority of it goes away on June 30th of 2021. And so maybe you saw that when Nate was talking about carry forward level, you'll see this drop in our dollars that's coming forward in carry forward level. And a lot of it is because this work planned or requested is ongoing. It was only paid for on a one-time basis. So we're checking in with folks. Hey, when we're looking at forage fish or reintroduction or northern pike suppression, what are our consistent needs? Are we still interested in having success in those particular areas, even if it's going to take, you know, longer than what's currently been paid for? We think that Growth Management Act and some of the pressures on Washington State are going to continue to be really important. And so we've got our supporting local governments and HPA support line item here. We've got a small item for wildlife rehab. Mostly this area is, we have some fund balance in wildlife rehab, and this would just be an increase in expenditure authority on a one-time basis to access it and continue with the work that we're already doing. And then with relation to our Southern Resident Killer Whale work, we've got sort of a marine mammal management piece. And so we've seen interest in how we're going to do pinniped management, and also some of the outreach and effectiveness and reporting that we want to do with regards to work whales. We're trying to cover the hints and rumors that we're seeing about a possible special session. Let's talk about that maybe happening in June. Now maybe it sounds a little August. And so we want to, of course, be prepared to offer up cuts on a one-time basis and something like that. But if the legislature is going to get together, are there items that we can point out to them, especially where we can help with job creation? You know, natural resources are a vital portion to the economy, and we think that we have opportunities to showcase some of these opportunities. So we've got items with regards to our lands and job partnerships. We're thinking a lot about these WCC crews and veteran corps. You know, what we saw in April was that construction payrolls went down a lot with a lot of unemployment. About half of that has bounced back. Maybe the state will invest a lot in infrastructure and some of that concrete and things like that, and maybe bring back some of the jobs for that. But how do they how do they go after infrastructure and have an opportunity for folks who are just not in those skilled trades craft, but still use that as an opportunity to kind of make this recession V-shaped, right? So we think about, you know, our WCC and Veterans Corps worker and some of the work that they could do on our lands as a potential employment opportunity. We've got work that we're trying to do on net ecological gain, and then some exciting ideas about nature in the city and feathering and some of these kind of backyard wildlife sanctuaries pilots. We think that we can promote job improvement through some of those. And then finally, I'm excited about this last one. You know, we're talking a lot about the capital budget and I think bond capacity I think is going to be invested in. And so I think that's going to be an area where the state really looks. But how fast can you get concrete poured or dirt moved or an area replanted when you're looking at some of these? A lot of these construction windows come with a long permitting piece. So a couple of these items look at attempts to try to streamline some of those areas, either with the Army Corps of Engineers. You know, we have our HPAs that takes a maximum of 45 days to move through. We've got some of our state permits leaned up. When it gets to the feds, what we're finding is it's not that they don't like the projects necessarily, but oftentimes we have areas where we just don't have time to come look at them. So can we provide funding opportunities and solutions so that we can get Washington State's work on the ground faster and make better use of these funds so that things aren't caught behind these long permitting windows, and we can drive that job creation faster. So I get excited about this expedite restoration projects piece here. But we wanted to frame up all three of those a little bit faster timeline-wise, because maybe that's something that folks might be interested in even here for August, rather than just kind of September and then January regular session timeframe. Okay. So next steps is we want to do as much outreach as possible. So the director's office is going to do a webinar with a whole bunch of stakeholders. We're going to have program directors present. I'll be present. Nate will be present. The director will be present. Trying to put out as much information and create as much awareness here in the summer, in the interim here in July. We want to be talking to our advisory groups. Of course, we need to communicate with the tribes and try to coordinate with them as much as possible. We'll have a budget and policy advisory group meeting again in July 28th. So that'll be after our cut package instructions have come from OFM, and maybe after some of these ideas have been winnowed down and shaped up. And of course, we'll be coming back to you for approval and discussion. All with the goal of getting these 21-23 packages and that second supplemental submitted to OFM in September. Then we'll see the governor's budget come out in December. And of course, we'll be in the long session between January and April. That's the majority of what I had. I'd be interested in questions.
Any questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner McKenzie.
Yes, thank you. Maybe a question on process to make sure I'm clear on that, and then I have a question on slide number 27. So we've got a looming budget problem coming, and we just heard about some maintenance level requests for more money, 5 to 6 million maybe. And then we have some information here on performance level requests for more money, 10 to 15 million. We're going to have to then deal with reductions. And so in terms of trying to provide a perspective on how valuable or how much to emphasize these or agree with or endorse these possibilities for increased money, it's hard to do that if then here comes a cut exercise whereby wait a minute, we're going to have to cut something in our existing budget. What's the higher priority here? Some of this new initiative stuff or some of the old initiative stuff? So are you looking for a reaction here on these ideas for increases, just understanding that everything's so fluid that there's still a chance to second guess it? Or when you show some of this stuff to the other folks over the course of the summer here in the Budget and Policy Advisory Group on July 28th, are you going to show them the results of our discussion right here before we know? Anyway, it's all a matter of trying to understand how the priorities considerations line up in time. So could you speak to that before I go back to slide 27?
Yeah, Nate, let me take an item here, and then maybe I'll give Nate a chance too. Thank you so much for the question. So, when I think about our maintenance level costs, these are costs that we pretty much are going to have. And so I think about those a little bit differently than I think about some of our policy level items. If we don't ask and receive for them, we'll be stuck with those costs anyway. And that's effectively like getting a cut if we're not successful in getting those particular maintenance level items. So it's less about decisions that we get to make or any of those things. For example, PILT. We want to pay our bills for PILT. Those levels are already set. We just need funding to be able to do it. So I think about that maintenance level, kind of 5 to 6 million, a little bit differently than I think about our policy level. It's hard to tell from my perspective how our policy level and our cuts might work against each other. And I think it can be quite difficult. And I think you're right that we don't know all of the, we don't know the proper instructions, and we don't know how all this stuff is coming out. This is our best guess. And so we have tried to think critically about, when we put together a list, we put together a $90 million list of excellent ideas of needs that were really real. And so we will try to winnow those down and stay kind of sensitive to, what the current environment is. But maybe that helps answer a little bit of the questions on what our next steps and what unknowns we're waiting to know here in the next few weeks as we move forward with that strategy. Nate, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, thanks, Morgan, and to Commissioner McIsaac. All of the draft performance level packages that we identified, other than one that's for tapping a fund balance, all of them are for state general fund. And if, for instance, in the outlook for 21-23, the agency would be directed to take very severe cuts, that might also then either OFM provide instructions or just looking at the severity, does that then prompt a discussion about an inflationary adjustment on a fee bill? At this point, it's not on the table. We think we can proceed with a state general fund request, but that would be something I think that we'll get more information here in the next couple, 3 weeks from the Forecast Council and OFM budget writing instructions, and we'll understand the severity of the problem. Or is it looking like, hey, fiscal year 21 is going to be rough, but things are looking like it might bounce back for 21-23. And so it's more of a kind of business as usual. So we'll see how this plays out, but you're right. It is challenging to balance those new emergent needs while you're also looking at reductions. And in past direction, sometimes it'll say, well, you can pursue something new, but you also need to serve up a cut.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for that. So on the maintenance level requests, if there's a raise in the minimum wage, we're not going to get out of that. If the PILT thing is a higher number, we should be paying that. If our lease goes up, we got to pay that. So those are kind of a given. And on the performance level ideas, I think there's some really good ideas here. Whether or not I, as one commissioner, would endorse these as something more powerful than and a higher priority than what we might cut later, I guess I don't know until the cuts are there, but I do think these are some good ideas. Let me ask for a little clarity here on slide number 27. So these are ideas to ask for more money, monitoring fisheries. In the Skagit River, we've had that steelhead fishery that's been a kind of a relatively small cost if you want to look at it in a big picture thing. But I think it's a good idea to cover monitoring all the fisheries. If we have an open fishery, that's an obligation, I think, to cover it and count the fish that are caught and report them. The Quicksilver Matter is an initiative that sounds pretty good. There's a lot of coordination yet to come on that. And so I would like to think of weighing that off of some other things and wait and see. It caught my eye here with the southern resident killer whale, wild fish for southern resident killer whale, but it doesn't say hatchery fish for southern resident killer whale. And so we've got this initiative to try to put more hatchery fish out there for killer whales maybe the best immediate benefit. Reintroducing wild fish in the upper Columbia is going to take years to provide some fish to the killer whales, whereas increased hatchery production can. And I know we've done a little bit of that already, and appreciate the fact that we still have some of our planning money there to try to get to doing more as soon as we can. But the appearance of this bullet is that it's maintenance. And so I guess from my perspective, if you're going to show this around to the advisors and the public, I guess I would urge you to consider saying something about more hatchery fish for southern resident killer whales produce more hatchery fish. Maybe we need to do some, have more money for maintenance and marking trailers. But I think the idea for whatever's necessary in that particular biennium to get more hatchery fish immediately to southern resident killer whales, or plan for those dead end bays in Puget Sound, or some of the easy spots on the Columbia River where you don't have to worry about impacts on wild fish, that somehow that gets characterized to our advisors so we can get some input on them. When I look at this, it doesn't quite fit with the paradigm I've been thinking about with regard to our initiative to have more hatchery fish in safe areas for impacts on wild salmon for these endangered killer whales.
Okay, if I may, Commissioner Keogh has his hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Carpenter. I do like Nate's optimism about the economy looking into the future, but mm-hmm. of course the Fed came out with a report 2 years ago or 2 days ago saying that there's likely to be very rough sailing ahead as far as the economy. So now hopefully, you know, maybe our state will fare better than the nation, but that's a sobering kind of thought, and obviously we'll see how that plays out. So, you know, I had a question, and kind of my comment, I think, dovetails into the maintenance level request, the 5 to 6 million. So, Morgan, could you go to slide 20, please? Yeah, and then 21, too. So I guess my question is this 5 to 6 million, I know this is kind of, you know, we need to kind of fine tune that a little bit, but how does 5 and 6 million maintenance level requests compare to other requests that the agency has made in prior biennium budget requests?
I don't have those exact numbers, but I don't think it's too far out of line with what a biennial maintenance level generally is. We generally have costs that increase because of prior decisions or because of decisions by the legislature for you know, cost allocation and items like that that tend to pop up. I think it's sort of within the realm of reality. I'd be happy to kind of send you a breakdown of what we've asked for in the past and also kind of our success on maintenance level.
So I guess my thought is that, you know, you have things listed here like COLA adjustment, increases in rent. If we are, and it does sound like that we're going to be facing a very tough economy, I'm just wondering if maybe the maintenance level request in moving forward in such an economic climate, maybe we can go use something less than that number. I mean, you know, I'm not a budget expert. I don't pretend to be, but just that. So if we can, you know, kind of pare down our maintenance level request to match reality, maybe that will give us a better chance in really going after some of these performance level requests that the commission places a high priority on. Just a thought.
I think that's an excellent thought, Commissioner. And you will see, some of these numbers get vetted further in July and August as the fiscal year ends. Generally, I don't know that we can draw a one-to-one correlation between dropping maintenance level and increasing the chances that a policy level item might get funded. But we will always be trying to reduce these costs. These costs for maintenance level, they're real to us. So ultimately, you know, our chances of getting all of our maintenance level stuff funded are not 100%. Mm-hmm. Our likelihood of paying for all of our bills is 100%. So we'll definitely be scrubbing these numbers very, very carefully.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. A lot to look at and to be continued, Nate.
Sounds good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day, please.